You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, the radio show which features conversations with and the music of local musicians and musicians performing in town. I am your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, and likely next week as well, I have Chad Sonka, the Education and Outreach Director for the Savannah Voice Festival. And I have Andrew Bezantz, who is the new Artistic Director of the Savannah Voice Festival. And we're here to be talking about, guess what? The Savannah Voice Festival.
Thanks for having us, Dave. It's so great to talk to you again.
It's good to see you again, Dave. Looking forward to talking about season 14 of the Savannah Voice Festival.
And season 14 of the Savannah Voice Festival, it's listed as running from August 7th through the 16th, or August 6th through the 16th, I guess. But there actually is an event on the 5th. So I'm going to say it runs from August 5th through the 16th. And we're going to begin by talking about a series of events that occur throughout the festival. And these are really interesting. They are Masters in Voice sessions. And these are master classes with experts in voice. And so it allows then for the younger participants in the festival to have a chance to work with these unbelievably famous people. And so, Chad, you work a lot with these younger performers. Could you talk a little bit about the Masters in Voice?
Absolutely. So at its heart, Dave, the Cheryl Milnes Voice Programs was built by Maria Zuvas and Cheryl Milnes to be a mentorship program, to mentor the next generation of young artists in the tradition of great singing established by Maria and Cheryl and singers of that ilk. And this masterclass series is absolutely at the heart of what that is. So this summer, we will have four different masterclasses that range in topics from the different presenters' area of expertise. So usually what happens with these, a singer will get up and sing a selection. Could be opera, musical theater, song, anything that fits that particular class. And the presenter will work with them to improve their skills and to improve the effectiveness of their performance. But what's so wonderful about being an audience member in these, it's like peeking back the curtain, Dave. So you get an inside look as to how these artists develop and how they prepare music and what the inner workings are when they are preparing a selection for performance.
And what's really interesting is that each of the presenters are from a different aspect of the voice profession. For instance, the first one that is actually scheduled for the 5th of August is with Fabrizio Milano. And Fabrizio Milano is a huge name in directing opera. I mean, he's worked with Maria Callas. You can't get better credentials than that. And so he brings it from a directorial standpoint and looking at the whole opera in terms of their individual performances. But not only that, he's always accompanied by his sister, Laura Milano Flanagan, who is a psychotherapist. And people who aren't familiar with voice and singing and opera will go, psychotherapist? What? Why do they need psychotherapy or something? No. Well, maybe That's true too, but
This is Andrew here. We're all silently laughing on this Zoom call as you say, well, they don't need therapy. Well, you've got to be a little off kilter to want to do this, I find.
I think it's only sopranos that really need the therapy, right?
Oh, tenors. Are you kidding? Tenors?
As a baritone, I will agree with you, Dave.
But the thing is that they talk about issues related to the inner character of the character that they're portraying, of the person that they're portraying, and seek to sort of enlighten these young singers as to how to incorporate the life story, how to incorporate the feelings, how to incorporate the sensibilities of this character into their characterizations.
Well, I think it's such an essential part of the tool bag that a singer has to have. And what I love about Fabrizio and Laura's approach is that so it's not just dramaturgical. Oh, dramaturgy is the art and study of the drama of a piece and understanding the different elements of it that impact character. But it's also from a musical perspective because Fabrizio knows these operas so well. I mean, better than almost anybody that I've ever met. He's able to speak to what the composer is doing in the music, how a sentence that is key for the character to say for the audience to understand the character, how it is set musically, in addition to just the text existing in the show in the first place. And that really sets him apart. And I think something that is so special for our studio artists is the chance to work with somebody that is not just legendary, it's the fact that they are legendary for a reason. And with Laura and Fabrizio together, you just have this 1-2 punch of incredible insight that I don't think you can get pretty much anywhere else. So, our students, whether or not they know it, they're incredibly lucky to have the experience with the two of them.
And in addition to that, they have experience with the two founders of the voice program, and that is Maria Zuvas and Cheryl Milnes. Maria Zuvas will have a master's in voice masterclass on August 6th, and Cheryl will have a master's in voice master's class on August 11th.
I've been singing with the Milnes Voice Programs since 2013 and have been the beneficiary of the tutelage of these two and have participated in classes led by these two. And I can speak from experience to say the effectiveness of my performances has risen because of my work with them. And everybody else who has worked with them knows that too. Maria herself is a fabulous soprano, as many people have heard throughout these past 14 years here in Savannah. We're so lucky to be blessed with her level of expertise, not only in producing and directing, but in performance as well. So she gives it a brilliant class, and Cheryl Milnes's classes, I mean, that goes without saying in terms of knowing these operas, as Andrew mentioned with Fabrizio. Cheryl lives and breathes this art form. And any of those little pearls of wisdom, it's immeasurable. They lead with such empathy and grace and knowledge.
Of course, Maria is a soprano. Unless she sings Greek songs, then she's a mezzo-soprano.
She does it all.
That's an inside joke. Apparently, her first album, which involved Greek songs, the reviewer called her a mezzo-soprano because there's a lot of very deep singing in those songs. And of course, Cheryl is a world-famous baritone.
Sang at the Met for over 40 years. He sang over 650 performances just in that house alone. He is a Grammy winner for his opera recordings, but his catalog expands to beyond opera. And what I so appreciate about Maestro Milnes, that watching his classes, is he still knows how to train singers for this generation. you know, we live in a very different time now from when he was in his heyday, and he still keeps up with what is important and intrinsic about great singing and how to use that and adapt it to make careers for yourself in 2026. You know, not everybody is going to be singing lead roles at the Met that comes through our program, but they are wonderful singers. And now how do you use that to create a career for yourself? And he knows that deeply.
Well, and the fourth of these Masters in Voice presentations is being done by one of my favorite categories of folks involved in voice, and that is the collaborative pianist and vocal coach. This is a very important person in the life of a vocal musician, because there's very few things that are more important to a vocal musician than working with a really good collaborative pianist. And this is Timothy Hall.
Well, Tim has been part of our program since we began in Savannah 14 years ago, and he's often music directed Voices in Sacred Song concert. But this summer, he's got a lot of things to do. First of all, he's playing in both the Stabat Mater, and then he's going to have his hands very full as the celesta player in Die Zauberflöte playing Papageno's Magic Bells. So we'll be pressing him into service as the fabulous keyboardist that he is. But he is also has an incredibly deep knowledge from the coach's perspective of how to draw out the best of what you can do in any kind of repertoire. He runs the gamut from opera to song to art song to even oratorio repertoire. And so the advantage of having Tim do a masterclass is that his coach's ear, which is something that all coaches have to really develop, is just fantastic. And I'm excited for it because I believe, Chad, if I'm wrong, this is the first time he's doing a masterclass for us. And so I'm very excited to hear what he has to say in that forum and the advice that he's going to give. I've been in the operatic world for over two decades now. And every time I go to one of these masterclasses, I come away with a huge bag of knowledge. So our students to be able to participate and either sing in or attend these masterclasses, it gives them a really concentrated dose of industry knowledge, musical knowledge, drama knowledge, all in this two-week period. So they are going to be incredibly enriched by the time the festival's over.
Well, and masterclasses in general, again, I'm probably in the category of nerd, opera nerd, voice nerd, but also instrumental nerd, because when I have the option of going to a masterclass, you'll see me there because of the fact that it is just so interesting from a sense of understanding how it's done. Chad alluded to that earlier, to get behind the scenes. But even more important than that, you get to really understand how the art is done. And Andrew, I think, was alluding to that as well, because of the fact that you get to hear things that I've been around this music biz for a long time, and I hear things that are new to me that I hadn't thought of in the application of how these experts work with these students.
You know, masterclass is a tricky term because I think it endows the giver of the masterclass with a certain aura about them. But these are all just human beings. They happen to be functioning very highly in our profession. And I think what I find to be in the best masterclass situations is you not only see the progress that a student may make, but also the humanity of the masterclass giver. You understand their insights. And, you know, somebody like Cheryl, for example, before I ever met the man, of course, I had his Rigoletto sitting on my CD shelf and had always been thunderstruck by the last bars of music that he sings in the final scene with Gilda. That is the most affecting, I think, I've ever heard anybody do in many, many, many Rigolettos. When you hear Cheryl talk about singing Verdi and understanding Verdi's music, you have so much more insight as to how he was able to achieve that just by him talking about it. You see Cheryl, the human, the artist who created this thing that could be, you know, very much viewed across the distance of time as something that is iconic and, you know, untouchable. Well, he's a human being who made that happen. And one of the things in a great masterclass is when the presenter is able to reveal that human side of themselves. I think is in all of these masterclass presenters are people who are very good at doing that.
And Tim Hall's masterclass is on August 12th. In most cases, such as Tim Hall's on August 12th and Fabrizio's on August 5th and Maria's on August 6th, are all at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So they don't conflict with any other of the programming. And Cheryl's is going to be in the evening on Tuesday the 11th, and his will be at 6:30. So those who can't get away during the day to go to the other ones can come to Cheryl's. Of course, as well as masterclasses, which are in a sense performances. Really, the first of the performances begins on August 7th. And this is referred to as the Night of Rising Stars. And this is back in the Telfair Academy, downstairs in the Rotunda area, which is one of the best places to hear music of any form, and certainly vocal music. So I'm so glad that they're back in that area. And so that's one reason to go to the Night of Rising Stars, which again is at 6:30 p.m. on August the 7th. But the other reason to do that is that this is the first time that you get exposure to the Voice Studio students and be able to listen to them singing what they feel often is their best performance, is a work that they really love. So it's not that they're doing something that's been assigned to them. They're bringing what they feel is some of their best music.
So it's such a wonderful event, and we're so glad to be partnering and back at the Telfair Academy, because that's where the Savannah Voice Festival started. Back when Maria and Cheryl, you know, had this wonderful idea for a festival, you know, the training programs part of the Cheryl Milne's Voice programs, it started all the way back in 2000. And the idea of coming to Savannah was, okay, so these artists are training and now they need a forum to show off what it is they do. So when they came here in 2013, the first performance ever was at the Telfair Academy Rotunda. So it seems right that that's where we are kicking off season 14, Sunny Days and Starry Nights, which is why it's called Night of Rising Stars. It's incredibly symbiotic in that way. So by that point, on the 7th, the studio artists will have been working with the faculty for 4 days, already improving their skills. So they will be showing off their most, well, starry aria or song or musical theater selection that then introduces you to this new crop of studio artists. And this summer, we have a great mix of returning artists that Savannah has come to know and love, but also new artists that they will grow to love as well.
It's incredibly important for young singers who are in the graduate school level, which a lot of our studio artists are, to start to feel the pressure in a good way about performing and performing these arias that they've been honing with their teachers and coaches at their various schools for, in some cases, a few years, and to give them a forum to present these selections is a very important part of their training. Because when you're performing, you start to learn that as hard as you've worked in the studio, as hard as you've worked in the practice room, as much work that you've done translating the language, learning notes and rhythms, understanding the style of anything, you have to own all of it and more when you present it in public. And I think it's a great way for a lot of these younger singers who have their sort of what we call the aria package, the arias that they feel represent them best when they go to audition, to present it for an audience. It just gives it a different layer, a different level of confidence, and often much more nuance than what you kind of work out on your own or even with a great coach and teacher. And we have the net benefit of getting to hear all these fabulous singers and singing really great music. And as Chad pointed out, it is not going to be just opera arias. We've encouraged our participants to think outside that box. Let's take a look at art song. And let's also take a look at musical theater. Because Savannah Voice Festival, as we're going to continue talking about, is, yes, we have opera. Yes, it is founded from two fabulous opera singers, Cheryl Milnes and Maria Zuvez. But the diversity of interest is what we think is the most important thing for our community in Savannah. The fact that we present not just classical voice. And this first Night of Rising Stars will be the very first example of that.
This is also a good time to mention all of this information and everything that we're talking about right now can be found on our website, which is Savannah Voice Festival, all spelled out, savannahvoicefestival.org. There you can find information about ticketing and certainly our sponsors, which we can't thank enough with, because our voice family in Savannah and all over the country, we can't do this without them. So just our sincere amount of gratitude goes out to that. So, and I wanted to mention too, that all of those masterclasses that we mentioned prior to this point, those are free. So you're getting all of that information and great singing for free in those. And then the ticketed events start on August 7th, that Night of Rising Stars. Again, that's savannahvoicefestival.org.
And we can mention that in thanks in advance, we have sponsors for these events, as Chad just said, and sponsorship is so incredibly important. So if you're hearing this and you're not part of that, making a team that is making the future of opera possible for these young singers, please consider joining. You can find that information on our website as well.
Sponsorship is extremely important because the ticket prices generally pay for maybe a third to a half of the costs of putting these events on. And so it's very critical that you have sponsors to help bring the best artists to Savannah and present some of the best vocal music heard in America to Savannah.
Well, I have a longstanding joke that the only thing that's more expensive than war is opera. So yes, opera lives or dies not just by its audiences, but also by the people who care passionately about it, particularly opera education and training. And as Chad mentioned, you know, the core of the Milnes Voice programs is to train the next generation and to pass on that information and to connect the thread from the glories of the past to our current students. So they understand the importance of that. And that can't happen without these generous donors. So we thank them, thank them, thank them.
As the refrigerator magnet on my refrigerator says, Molière once said, opera is the most expensive noise that there is.
I'm fine with that.
Well put.
As we mentioned tickets, because tickets are available at the website, there's actually an interesting thing about tickets as well, because you can purchase tickets individually to individual events, and there's two levels of tickets for most events, the premier level of ticket, which is front and center seating, and the regular ticket pricing, which is anywhere else in the venue. But also there is a Friends of the Festival Pass and a Festival Concert Package. Can you talk about those, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Festival Concert Package really, and again, this is all listed on our website. Go to that website and see what those offerings are. But with the Festival Concert Package, with this one price, you get pretty much everything that we are offering. that's a ticketed event. So that's everything from Rising Stars. It includes pretty much everything, and going all the way through our fabulous Mozart's Die Zauberflöte, which Andrew is going to be conducting. But for all of those 7 major events, it's really incredible.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming. And it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going. And you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation. And thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the 2026 Savannah Voice Festival. Season 14 of the Savannah Voice Festival is themed Sunny Days and Starry Nights and includes opera, art song, musical theater, and popular song. It is Everything Voice from August 7th through the 17th at several locations around Savannah. More information and tickets can be found at www.savannahvoicefestival.org. Grow Initiative Georgia is offering a Young Readers Literacy Camp in Savannah on July 13th to 17th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day. Participants receive daily reading support and nutritious lunches. To register or for more information, call 912-200-7954 or email info@thegiga.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for 4 centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have Chad Sonka, the Education and Outreach Director for the Savannah Voice Festival. And I have Andrew Bezance, who is the new Artistic Director of the Savannah Voice Festival. And we're here to be talking about, guess what? The Savannah Voice Festival. Let's move on. And so we've talked about Friday the 7th and going to move then on to Saturday the 8th. And one of the traditions of Saturday mornings is to have a Saturday morning concert. And this one is referred to as Here Comes the Sun, sitting in with the theme. And this is at the Davenport House Preservation Room. By the way, if you're not familiar with that, it's on Broughton Street. It's the old Kennedy Pharmacy on Broughton Street, close to Habersham. And it's a wonderful small venue to see some of these young rising stars. It is at 10 a.m. at the Davenport House Preservation Room. And this is just a wonderful place to see young artist, also get a cup of coffee in a relaxed environment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You said it all right there, Dave. It's a great way to kick off your day as we are progressing through the festival. This concert often is lighter in fare. We do offer a little bit of light food and snacks as well as coffee. But the music matches that as well. So it's great tunes, beautiful songs, and these young artists showing off what they can do with one of our indelible partners, which is the Historic Savannah Foundation, specifically the Davenport House Museum.
And then that evening is at 6:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church. The Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah is on Troop Square. And it is a wonderful sound venue. It's a relatively small church, so it's not this big echoing thing. And the sound is really great, and particularly for voice. I've been there for a bazillion concerts. It's right around the corner from the studio. And it is just a wonderful place to listen to music.
Well, I can take over that from you because we love it as a venue as well. I think our audience really enjoys it. All of us that have performed there love it as well. They're incredibly welcoming and wonderful to work with, but it's an intimate space. And I think you get to feel almost on stage with our performers. And this concert is going to be such a fantastic showcase for the Broadway side of all of our psyches. It is being curated by Maria Zuvez and Justin Havard, two big old softies when it comes to this repertoire, which is musicals from Broadway Golden Age. So I always feel that, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein and Cole Porter and all these wonderful composers from that time period, they really knew how to write for the voice, and they have created some of the most enduring melodies. There's a reason that the American Songbook is the American Songbook. And because this is the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country, you know, one of the greatest art forms that we have produced is the Broadway musical, and by extension, the movie musical. So that's really America's art form. And to highlight the greatest composers from that golden age, it just makes for a fantastic evening. You're going to know every single song that's on there and be reminded of some that maybe you've forgotten and be humming all the way to the car after the concert.
And I thought it was very interesting because they're defining Broadway's golden age from 1943 to 1960, which actually is the period of Rodgers and Hammerstein working together. From Oklahoma in 1943,
there's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Got a beautiful feeling, everything's going my way. All the cattle are standing like statues. All the cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eye. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Aunt Taylor.
What you doing around here?
Well, I come a-singing to you. All
the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And an old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day.
To Sound of Music in 1960.
Exactly so. And, you know, this is not saying that musicals that come after that aren't fabulous musicals, but there's a specific style in this era of musical theater history. I'm not a musical theater historian, so I'm not going to go too far down this well. But for those who are interested, by the way, there is an amazing series that PBS produced called Broadway, the American Musical. It's a 6-part documentary series, very much Ken Burns style, that has interviews with everybody. It is so comprehensive, starting all the way from the end of the 19th century through all the way up to around when the producers in Wicked was when they made the film. And there is one of the episodes of the documentary deals specifically with this era as well. And it's not the reason that we chose it, but it is sort of a defined period in Broadway's history. And again, I think you have during this time not only wonderful music written, but you have the Rodgers and Hammerstein invention of the songs relating to the plot, the songs being integral to the story. Stephen Sondheim, who studied with Oscar Hammerstein, always said, prior to this idea of the songs emerging from the plot, they were like walnuts in a fruitcake. You know, you just encounter one every couple bites. and they would be wonderful songs, but the integration of the music and the story was not a high priority. Like the Gershwin musicals are a great example of this, where the songs stand on their own because they don't have to relate to the show in question. Whereas starting really with Rodgers and Hammerstein and really starting with Oklahoma, you have this increased integration of the songs into the story and coming out of the story. So it's much more, to use that overused word, organic.
And the songs turned out to be one of the best ways to get a reflection of the inner thinking of the characters. They also can advance the plot, but mostly you get a real insight into the characters from their songs.
Absolutely. And that idea comes, I like to think, from the operatic tradition of, particularly once you get into, say, middle period of Verdi, where the duet scene structure becomes an identifiable thing, where there are moments of reflection, but also of plot moving forward. And so it's a great storytelling technique. When musical theater first happened, the book wasn't as important as the songs because they were more interested in having a hit song that then people could sell sheet music to and play on their parlor piano at home. But as the art form matured, it was the idea of a book, meaning the play part, the dialogue, being divorced from the songs, really disappeared. And it's only when you have an experimental show like Company by Stephen Sondheim, where you have the songs, again, sort of existing, not necessarily outside of the plot, but they're more commentary on the plot than actually being part of the plot. But Oklahoma, Carousel, Music Man, My Fair Lady, Camelot, West Side Story, all of these shows are the great exemplars of the music from the show being as integral to the storytelling as any line the character speaks on stage.
And also, the Broadway is such an important part of the Milne's Voice program.
Absolutely. At the time in which Cheryl was singing, there are several musicals after the bulk of his career was over that if he was still singing regularly, he said he absolutely would have sung those roles. So some of them might be Javert and Les Mis. And even, believe it or not, he loves Disney. And those are great songs to sing. And they're great teaching songs, too, because it teaches us how to communicate. I often say to my students a lot that we sing to communicate, and we sing because it is the clearest form by which we know how to do it because of all the resources we have available to us. And musical theater is not only a great place to start with that with young singers, you can really expand and grow and allow these wonderful stories to be told in this medium with great music.
And it's also, from a pedagogical perspective, it's important too for young singers to become versed in this style because, A, you're more employable if the more things you can do, but also understanding that, particularly from this era, yeah, there's belts, yeah, there's brassiness, you know, Ethel Merman, hello. But at the same time, singing Eliza and singing I Could Have Danced All Night requires a very solid classical technique, which Julie Andrews had. And I think she's an example of one of the most perfectly cast people ever in a project because she just had that glorious soprano and was a great actress on top of it and could hold the stage with Rex Harrison. That's a lot of stuff that you have to be able to do. So again, exposing our studio artists to the skill sets needed to successfully present this material, we think serves them well and helps to keep their package well-rounded as they move into the world.
And spoiler alert, there will be a future episode of Savannah Music Local and Sustainable talking about this program, the Golden Age of Broadway, specifically. On to the next evening, 5 o'clock, and that's Sunday, August 9th. And it's going to be at the First Baptist Church. And this is Voices in Sacred Song. Now, this is a program that's every year. But this is a very special edition because it's going to be showcasing Giovanni Pergolesi's Sabut Mater.
We are thrilled about this. Voices in Sacred Song is always a deeply meaningful experience for everybody involved in it, including our audience. But one area of the repertoire that we haven't presented very much is the oratorio repertoire, which is so rich and deep. And last summer, our wonderful dear friend and brilliant maestro, Jorge Parodi, brought up the idea of how could we program this? And when we were looking at the overall festival layout this year, we thought, well, you know what? How about using this for Voices in Sacred Song? So it is going to focus solely on the Sabbat Mater of Giovanni Pergolesi, a beautiful oratorio written in 1736. It will feature a chamber orchestra with continuo on the organ played by Tim Hall, as I mentioned before, and some of our wonderful orchestral musicians. And it is about a 45, 50 minute work for this chamber orchestra and soprano and alto solo. So we're delighted that we're going to be featuring soloists for the Pergolesi, soprano Ashley Nunez and mezzo-soprano Carlisle Quinn, who was with us as Cenerentola last year in a royal feast. So we're thrilled that she's coming back, and we're so happy to feature Ashley, who's a brilliant young soprano. Again, Jorge will conduct this with chamber orchestra and our friend Tim Hall on the organ. And I think it's a beautiful departure from what we normally do for Sacred Song.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for those listeners to some of my other programs, I just want to remind people that this is Giovanni Pergolesi, not my friend Jerry Pergolesi, who was actually a descendant and who actually is a musician on a previous program.
Does Jerry Pergolesi also have a stabat mater? I mean, we could present them side by side.
No, he's a drummer. Oh, wow. We've come to the end of tonight's program, and we still have so much more to talk about. So I'm going to have you back next week, if that's possible.
Absolutely. There's too much to be missed if we gloss over it. And there's so many brilliant aspects of what the audience is going to experience that we want to make sure we've got enough time to talk about it.
I think the audiences can tell by now how passionate and, quite frankly, nerdy the three of us are about this art form. So we would be honored to come back and talk with you more about our wonderful season, Dave.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, that ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.